Hello and welcome to The Lamplighter. If you were with us last time, you remember we were talking with Julie James. She has just started, or been involved, I should say, continuing a ministry, as she has will tell you that she was in federal prison here in Greenville for a short time. But Julie, we're glad to have you with us again, and I want to tell our listening audience that Penny Miller, a friend of the station, has also joined our interview to talk with Julie. And Penny, she's quite amazing, isn't she?
She is. Her story is so powerful.
Julie, tell us from the beginning, if you can, in just a minute or two, everything that we talked about last time. Who is Julie James and what is your ministry?
I am from Southern California, and I spent some time in federal prison for a white-collar crime that I took full responsibility for. And I took that time in federal prison to reach out to other women, trying to minister to them and lead them to the Lord as God saw me fit. Sorry, I'm kind of fumbling on my words a little bit. As I was in prison, I started a camp newsletter called The Camp Encourager, and I had a Christian music ministry that I also led. I came out of prison and started a ministry called Deliberately Graced, which you can find on Facebook.
And I want to say that again so people can get that down. It's hashtag Deliberately Graced with an ED at the end. Hope you can go to that. Finish your story, Julie.
But I used that time in federal prison rather than allowing it to defeat me and depress me and discourage me and take me down a road of D words that I didn't want to go. I allowed it to give me victory, and I let the Lord use me as his vessel to transform me and bring transparency and honesty into my life and come out of federal prison as powerful rather than pitiful.
I really like those two words.
Love that.
And you don't have to go to prison to feel pitiful.
Tell us
how you're able to work with those who are down and out. Maybe they did crimes completely different than yours. And maybe they felt they were the drudge of society. How would you relate to them?
Within prison or without?
Either one.
Okay. I feel that we can be in prison outside of prison also. But I feel that I feel being transparent and honest and just putting everything at the foot of the cross and allowing Jesus to fight your battles and letting him use you, getting in your word, staying in a daily routine with him makes you powerful. And even though you may not feel powerful during those pitiful times, he will turn things around. And he is the God of complete transformation and strength. And he'll make you what you ought to be.
It's a choice too, isn't it, Julie? I'm going to have to take that saying from you. I absolutely love that. I've got that written down. Powerful, not pitiful. Because as Dick said, that could be in any situation. No, we're not talking
it
just about being in prison. It could be about any situation. But I just love that because God gives us choices. And obviously, you made a choice to do the right thing. You want to use this experience to bring others to him. And I was kind of asking you earlier, wondering about the other women that you found in the pretty much the same situation that you came from. Maybe a tough marriage, just some issues going on there. Did you find a lot of women that could really relate to your story?
I did, whether we had the same crime or not. I feel like the Lord led a lot of individuals into my life in prison to minister to me that he deliberately placed there in my path. And I was able to learn from them, and then I was able to go on and minister to other women. There's a lot of women that don't know how to pray. There's a lot of women that don't know how to seek him in his word. I know that when I finally stopped being a surface Christian in prison, I found the Bible to be like an ocean to me. It was so overwhelming. And now it's like a river that flows through me. I can take a scripture and God will speak to me through that scripture of what I'm studying. So it doesn't have to be a scary process, and it doesn't have to be complicated.
And I like that.
Very simple, keeping it very, very simple and just taking one verse at a time and applying it to your life.
Absolutely. And I think that is so, so important. People, we do need to keep it simple for all of us. I always tease people, my friends and other people that I work with, you got to keep it simple for me. And I'm so thankful that God, really his plan has been a very simple plan, you know, what we need to do to have a relationship with him. And so I think that's so important to just keep those points. People can relate to that when you're keeping it simple.
Well, I wrote on my deliberately graced page about a week ago, and I had a longtime friend contact me and said, I wish I knew Jesus like you did.
Mm.
And I said, she goes, I'm so scared, I don't even know where to start in the Bible. And she goes, you're such a scholar in it. When you write, it's so beautiful and bountiful. And I said, you don't have to be a scholar to know Jesus.
That's right.
Come to him. It's so simple. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. He loves you just the way you are.
Julie, I think of the blind beggar that was healed.
Yes.
And they came to him and said, what's going on here? What's the big deal? What? And the guy said, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind and now I can see. And he must have said
right.
that with great excitement. And you say that, you know, people tell you you're a scholar and such, and I'm sure you're well-versed in your background. But anybody can show the excitement of God and how he's changed our lives.
Yes, he can.
Tell us how that plays out. Can you tell us a story without giving away names of maybe some people in prison whose lives you know you were able to touch because God spoke through you?
I can tell you of one in particular. And she was an atheist. She did not believe in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me. It was one of my first experiences in leading someone to the Lord. She came to me and she went to an Alpha and Omega class with me where they were teaching about God. And then she started coming to the Christian music ministry that I had started. And she, not started, rather led. And she just spent time with me. And I just, every day, she would see my routine. We lived in the same dorm. It's like a college campus where I was at. There's no fences or anything at Greenville. But, she just started, you know, asking me questions about God and asking me questions about the Bible. Well, one year while I was in prison, she wrote me a birthday card, and on the birthday card, she told me, I will always remember you as the one who led me to Christ.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
I was so emotional.
Hmm.
I'm like, I went to her and I said, what? How did that happen? And she goes, you led me by example.
Oh.
She goes, I wanted to have what you had. And now, right now, she is released from federal prison, and she is on fire for Jesus.
Oh,
isn't
that?
And you're in touch and encouraging her.
Yes, and she's encouraging me now.
That very good. And I want to turn, if I can, to our listening audience. Again, we're talking many times to people who are Christians for 3 months or 33 years or 86. She saved, and I should say she led this woman to the Lord by her example. Now, many of us are caught up in one area or another area. Christianity is so filled with doctrines of truth of what Christ has done in our lives, but it's truly changed us. And if people aren't coming to you and saying, I see something in your life, you may not be bringing people to Christ directly. That's his call. But if they don't see Christ in you, you need to stop and look in the spiritual mirror and say, Lord, use me. No matter how long you've been in leadership or whatever church, if people aren't seeing Christ in you, you need to bow the knee and say, Lord, how can I be an example?
And I love Julie's heart. I really do. We can just sense your humility. You're giving all the credit, all the glory is going to the Lord. And I love your excitement and your joy that you express. That's just amazing.
Thank you.
I hope a lot of listeners get to hear this message, Julie, because it's going to touch a lot of people.
I am very impressed, and I want you to tell them one more time how people can find out about who you are and what you're doing, please.
They can go to my Facebook group page. It's hashtag Deliberately Graced, and my name on there is Julie Anna James, and they can find me there, and they can see I post on there every day, and they can find more about my journey and the journey of others right on that page.
I don't know about you, Dick, but I'm going to that Facebook page today.
I'm going to as well, and that's hashtag deliberately graced with an ED at the end. And yeah. If you don't know how to go on the computer to Facebook, you get somebody that knows how. And show that page to them. And we need to be in prayer for Julie James. She is specially equipped in so many different ways to reach out to someone who truly needs God. And I'm going to remember that woman who was an atheist, and because of the way you acted, where you could have been pitiful, you showed the power of God.
Yes. He used me.
And I hope he continued to use you and others as well. Our time is coming to an end. I am deeply encouraged, Julie James, with your ministry and what you're doing. May God richly bless you and use you in what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you so much, too, Julie. We're so...
That's okay.
We're just happy to hear, so encouraged to hear your message, and I know other people are going to hear that. So you
Thank
keep
you
doing
so
what you're doing, and we'll be looking up that Facebook page.
And we are going to have
you.
Another interview with you in down the road, because it's very encouraging for all of us.
Sounds fabulous. Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
No, Dick. And to our listeners,
yes,
thanks
sir.
For joining us here on The Lamplighter.